hate, no hype, no fear.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, good whatever it is, wherever you are. Thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, my name's JD. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Today is the 10th day of March 2015. We are live right now. It is also pharmacist Benjamin Fuchs' birthday. So just from us here at Red Pill to Mr. Benjamin Fuchs, happy birthday to you, sir. And I think it's somebody else's birthday, but I'm not sure who. Anyway, hope you guys are doing well out there. I mentioned to some kids in the chat room this morning, we were talking about the weather. We do a lot of small talk when we show up in the chat room, but it's Seattle here, apparently, ladies and gentlemen, in Missouri today. I don't know when I moved, but apparently it is exactly like what I would imagine springtime in Seattle to be right now. Rain, dismal, you know, gray. All my lights are on in the house because it's so dark out. Anyway, good times. Hope wherever you guys are at, the weather is a little bit nicer for you. Appreciate you guys all tuning in. Really appreciate all of you guys being in the chat room this morning. It's nice to see a bunch of familiar faces in there as well. As I mentioned a second ago, we are live, and as such, you can go to truthfrequencyradio.com. Check out the chat room, get in touch with some of the other listeners that are out there. It's what we do here at Red Pill Reports. We have this big forum open so you guys can comment about news and then also shoot your questions over should you have any for our guests. I might open up phone lines a little later on today. We'll just have to wait and see how this discussion with our guest goes today. But I'm very excited to be bringing Dr. Sherry Tenpenny back to the program today. She is a natural health expert, to say the least. She also runs a clinic there in Ohio. And last time she was on, she was in some international trouble because she, being a very staunch anti-vaccinator, was going to do some speeches or a speaking engagement tour in Australia, and Australia said thank you but no thank you collectively, apparently. So anyway, we're going to follow up on that, find out what's going on with that. And she also went to a really interesting sounding conference over the weekend, I think up in Michigan. I did have all this information out in front of me, but then now I don't because I'm not prepared, but I do have it written someplace. Okay, here we go. It was the Campaign for Liberty, which was a Michigan conference, and she learned all kinds of new tips for activists. So we're cranking it up a notch today. We're gonna learn some new tricks on how we can actually take the heat to these people. And so I like that, and I really like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. So I'm looking forward to having her on in about an hour. And I'm not going to tell you who the other guests are for the rest of the week because I got in trouble earlier this week. So there you go. You're just going to have to stay tuned. Or you can go to redpillreports.com, check out the calendar. That'll tell you pretty much everything you need to know. Also, while you're at redpillreports.com, you can go to the show page today and find out everything you possibly could want to know about Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. You'll be able to find her links to her clinic. And also, you'll be able to see all the news that we try and bring together from all around the world so we can go over with you guys what's going on this crazy rock. I made a really big deal yesterday about Roger Sales' show, which is immediately following ours here on Truth Frequency. He didn't get it. It wasn't all put together yesterday, so I jumped the gun. I thought that he was ready to go. But sometimes behind the scenes, it's not as ironed out as we wanted it to be. But I do have it on good authority that he will be doing his live show starting immediately after hours today. So I would highly recommend, again, if you guys are interested in the sovereign movement, there's probably not a guy better out there to explain all of that to you. And I'm sure Roger will have guests on to do, you know, a lot of the same things that he's been doing over on GCN for a long time. So really excited to have Roger joining the team here at Truth Frequency, and I hope he gets his show up off the ground today. And I hope after today's show with us, you guys stay tuned and just blend right into Mr. Roger Sales' show. I think it's going to be a cool new format here, because it seems like every day, Monday through Friday, it's going to be live all day. So you get opportunities to call in all day, and you won't have a replay that follows mine anymore. So I'm really excited about that. Really excited for Roger coming and joining the team here. And I hope you guys give him and all the other hosts a lot of support. Okay, moving on. Let's move on to... Did you guys enjoy Commander Dale Brown yesterday? Was that guy not amazing? Holy cow. I want his template to be run worldwide. I really do. I think this whole private guard thing is going to be sweeping the nation, taking over the municipal law enforcement. If we can make that happen, I'll be really, really excited. So I hope you guys enjoyed that show yesterday. Again, Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, will be joining us. Okay. Fell for what yesterday? What's going on in the chat? Oh, someone spilled the beans in the chat room. Today is my birthday, I guess. I'll just put it out there. So thank you in the chat room. Okay, moving on. Let's get into some international news, because there's a lot of goofy stuff going on as usual. Today is Tuesday, Monday's ugly little sister. So what happened yesterday? Well, some more news coming out about the prime suspect in the Nemtsov killing. This is obviously the opposition leader over in Russia that was gunned down in that very James Bondish type of way in front of the Kremlin the other day. Ukrainian supermodel at his side and everything. Anyway, Zaur Dedev, who is the guy who has reportedly confessed to the involvement, he has said now that he organized the crime in revenge for the opposition leader's negative comments on Muslims and Islam. This is according to the Rosbalt source in law enforcement there. So again, he's one of the five suspects arrested in connection with this politician's assassination. And the judge, Mushnikova, said on Sunday that Dyadyev confessed his involvement to the crime to investigators, and the accused did not make any comments at all during his court session. The Rosblatt news agency claims its source in the law enforcement agency knows exactly what Dyadyev said during his interrogation. Again, they go on to say that the reason he organized this crime was because Nemtsov had at some point made negative comments about Muslims and Islam and Mohammed. This guy that is arrested, however, and I don't want to be prejudicial here, but he doesn't look like a Muslim. I mean, he looks like a standard, normal white Russian guy. And people did some digging and haven't really been able to corroborate anything that Nemtsov said that could have been taken as anti-Muslim. So I don't know. I think this is a little thin. The opposition leaders there saying this is also pretty thin right now. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think that seems pretty unlikely to me that this guy did this because of some, you know, staunch pro-Muslim stance. That just doesn't really make a sense. Oh, Eric. Man, that's cool. You guys are missing a lot in the chat room, by the way. Okay, moving on. Obama has now officially declared Venezuela as a threat to national security. True story. This just broke in. Raw story last night. United States President Barack Obama issued an executive order on Monday, just yesterday, declaring the country of Venezuela as a national security threat, sanctioning seven more individuals, and expressing concern about the Venezuelan government's treatment of political opponents. And the reason that we're concerned about the treatment of political opponents is because obviously we tried to destabilize the country and get somebody else in charge. So now we're obviously pretending that we're very concerned about the treatment of the person that we were trying to put in there to take down Venezuela. Barack Obama continues. He says Venezuelan officials, past and present, who violate the human rights of Venezuelan citizens and engage in acts of public corruption. Wow, that's the second time. Jen Psaki said this last week, and I almost fell out of my chair. The fact that we would have the audacity, again, I got to, you know, just sorry to take an aside here, but we're going to sanction people who engage in acts of public corruption. I mean, hello, pot. You guys are black. We are the kettle. Anyway. Yes, so citizens that engage in acts of public corruption will not be welcome back here in the United States, and we now have the tools to block their assets and their use of U.S. financial systems. So, again, he goes on to say, we are deeply concerned by the Venezuelan government's efforts to escalate intimidation of its political opponents. Nothing like we would ever do that. Venezuela's problems cannot be solved by criminalizing dissent, which I actually do agree with that. Too bad. That's seems to be the name of the game here in the United States at this point. Okay, so the White House also said the executive order targeted people whose actions undermined the democratic processes or institutions, had committed acts of violence or abuse of human rights, and were involved in prohibiting or penalizing freedom of expression. Just remember this for just a second. I just want everybody to bear in mind all of these these new criteria that we're ostensibly trying to say that we've got to hold, you know, Venezuela to this super high bar. Because we're going to get to another story here in just a few minutes about our very favorite Middle East partner, Saudi Arabia. Coincidentally, the largest arms importer in the world now. And we're going to talk a little bit about their human rights violations. But anyway, White House taking a stand against these human rights violators and people who engage in acts of corruption. Wow. Anyway, more seven more individuals named in the order would have their property and interests in the United States blocked or frozen, and they would be denied entry into the United States. U.S. citizens will also be prohibited from doing business with them. The White House is calling on Venezuela to release all political prisoners, including dozens of students, and warned against blaming Washington for its problem. Of course, Venezuela has been blaming their problems on Washington for a while now. And if you understand, we're going to have a great guest on. I think his guest, let me look here. He is going to be on the March 18th. His name is John Perkins, and he has written a couple of great books. One of them is called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. If you hadn't read this book, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any kind of interest in how businesses and non-governmental agencies and governmental agencies work in collusion to destabilize countries and then to use great big loans to impose austerity on them. I mean, we're talking, this is what is going on in Venezuela right now literally follows the script that John Perkins has outlined in his book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And it's exactly like what we would expect them to be doing in Venezuela. Obviously driving down the price of oil really affects Venezuela's ability to import food. And so, was the United States complicit with OPEC and driving down the price of oil? There were a lot of political protests and things going on last year in Venezuela. I mean, I know we all have very short memories, but this is an ongoing tumultuous situation right now. And I'll tell you, the next story corroborates that. Venezuela now is installing finger scanners in their supermarkets. This is to hopefully part of its introduction to a rationing system. As this is not me being hopeful, but this is what Nicolas Maduro, the president there of Venezuela, is saying, that the poor purpose of this system is, again, so now we're seeing, I'll tell you, you go onto YouTube and you can look up YouTube videos for what supermarkets in Venezuela look right now, and it is startling. I mean, it really looks like Russia in the early 1990s. There's some fantastic rare YouTube videos of Russia supermarkets in the 1990s too that will, it definitely puts things into perspective. But now again, Venezuela is going to be installing 20,000 fingerprint scanners at supermarkets across the country as part of an introduction to this rationing system. Maduro says the system would reduce food hoarding and panic buying. And over the last year, there have been major, major long lines at supermarkets because of widespread shortages of basic goods. We had that story a couple of weeks ago about the young woman who earns her living literally standing in line to buy toilet paper for people. That's what she does. She gets up, goes and gets in line at the store, and then just starts calling people to find out who needs what. Which is, that's pretty good entrepreneurship right there as far as I'm concerned. But Maduro says the shortages are due to the manipulation of the food supply and prices. He's obviously blaming the United States and some of its colluding members there in South America. And the president also announced that seven major retailers have agreed to install these scanners in the store. The government first introduced the plans for compulsory biometric cards back in August of 2014, but this followed the failure of a voluntary card system earlier in that year. Mr. Maduro has also accused Colombian food smugglers of buying up price-controlled goods in state-run supermarkets across the border, and critics argue that the scanners will make a little difference as the state policy of controlling pricing incentivizes border-crossing smuggling. So essentially a lot of the people who are objecting to this saying it's just going to make it more difficult because people are going to be skirting this system any way that they possibly can. So again... in January, the hashtag empty shelves in Venezuela became a worldwide Twitter trend with over 200,000 tweets as Venezuelans tweeted pictures of empty supermarket shelves around the country. Maduro came out and said he was going to be releasing food supplies, and they never seemed to show up. And last week, South American foreign ministers said the region would help Venezuela address these shortages. So again, biometric scanners going into grocery stores in Venezuela. I don't like that, because even if it does serve a purpose right now, you're never going to get rid of a system like that. Once that system goes in, you're going to be stuck with that. And so, I don't dig it. Anything biometric, I'm not a fan of. Hang on a second. I got to write a question down from the chat room. Thank you, Persephone. Persephone. I'm going to go Persephone. Wondering about polysorbate 80 causing infertility in rats, and yet the Gardasil mini foods. Roger that. Okay, I will definitely talk to Sherry about that. Dr. Tenpenny, again, will be on the show here in about 45 minutes. And so if you guys have questions, natural health type stuff, we'll do our best to steward those across to her. Okay, moving over to Greece right now. Anarchists occupied Greece's ruling party headquarters for 9 hours on Sunday in support of hunger strikers protesting against conditions in the country's maximum security jails. A group of about 50 anarchists burst into the offices of the radical left-wing Syriza party in downtown Athens on Sunday. It forced staff to leave the building, according to party officials. The party officials did not actually call the police. Syriza has often been criticized as being very heavy-handed in terms of using the police against austerity protests or anti-austerity protests in the past. So the anarchists hung up banners from the building's balconies calling for the abolition of the controversial C-type jails, which are the country's most notorious criminals and terrorist detention facilities. They left around midnight, as the police said. About an hour later, the correspondent said the scene was quiet and the banners had been removed. The activists claim that they did no damage to the building whatsoever. So that's cool. You know, breaking in, hanging some banners, making a point, and then leaving without a scuffle. I like that. But the activists right now are claiming prisoners are subjected to unnecessarily harsh regime, and allowed no contact with their families. The protesters also demanded the release of Savos Zeros, who is a bomb maker from the extreme left-wing 17 November terrorist group, who is serving life in prison is in ill health. Why do they write stuff like that? It's so difficult to say. I don't know. It's a tongue twister this morning. Okay, let's move on. I got to check some. Let's see here. Chat room stuff. Polysorbate 8 in Breyer's ice cream. Blah. Gross. Let's talk about this. Hey, thanks, Cynthia. And moving on. Okay. I want to go over to Israel right now because there's another startling report coming out of Israel. And I'll tell you what, I don't even know, guys. Here we go. The Israeli foreign minister and the head of the right-wing Yisrael Benetil party. His name is Avigdor Lieberman. We've had him in the news a few times. Avigdor Lieberman. He suggested during a campaign event that Arab citizens of Israel who are disloyal to the state deserve to be decapitated. Yep, that's what he said. He says, whoever is with us should get everything, Lieberman said in a speech at the Interdisciplinary Center in the western city of Herzliya on Sunday. Whoever is against us, there's nothing else we can do. We have to lift up an axe and remove his head. Otherwise, we won't survive. So again, the Israeli foreign minister now suggesting that Arab citizens of Israel who are not pro-Israel should be decapitated right now. Okay, so during the rally, the nationalist leader again declared those who raise the black flag on Nabka Day, which is the day that the Israeli Arabs and Palestinians commemorate the creation of Israel as a tragedy, do not belong in the state of Israel. So when an Israeli Arab student expressed unease and asked what the minister proposes to do under his this new plan, Lieberman proposed that he expects all people, regardless of religion, to respect Israel and to serve in Israel's military. He says, I have no problem with you being a citizen, but he says, I expect all Arabs, Christians, and Jews to be loyal to the state, regardless of religious affiliation, and to serve in the IDF. So let's just pause for just a second. Let's just flip the script on this whole situation and ask the question, what would happen if, say, I don't know, John Kerry came out, made a statement about that, similar statement about Mexicans or Hispanics or maybe African Americans in the United States, right? Maybe saying, if you guys don't join the military or support everything that we do, we're going to cut your head off. Could you imagine I can't even imagine what would happen if John Kerry came out and said something that crazy. But again, here we have the Israeli foreign minister saying essentially exactly that. If you're an Arab citizen or a Christian or even a Jew and you live in Israel and you aren't supportive of everything that the Israeli state is doing right now, including the occupation of the Gaza area, well, you deserve to be beheaded. Beheaded. Wow. Okay. A Scottish minister has accused the British government of blocking his fact-finding mission to Gaza after the UK Foreign Office withdrew its support for the Strip. Humza Yousaf, who is a Scottish Minister for External Affairs and International Development, had intended to follow up on a $500,000 donation in pounds that the Scottish government made to humanitarian aid efforts in the Gaza Strip. While the Foreign and Commonwealth Office initially approved the trip, it made a about-face turn, citing security concerns as the fact that Westminster itself has exclusive responsibility for the UK's relation with the Israeli-occupied territory. So again, this Scottish minister was planning on going to occupied Gaza area to follow up on a very large donation that the Scottish government made to humanitarian and aid efforts there. But the British government basically said, you're not allowed to go there because essentially Westminster itself has exclusive responsibility to follow up on what's going on in the Gaza area. And although we realize your government, you know, the Scottish side, gave a whole bunch of money, we don't really care. So too bad, so sad. You can't go to Gaza to follow up on that. So anyway, in a separate controversy over access to Gaza, British MPs have now called on Israeli authorities to give them permission to visit the occupied territory because a motion was passed in Parliament last week calling for the British government to pressure Israel to grant MPs access to Gaza, which continues again to be off limits. The government's trade envoy to Palestine said that the people in Gaza are cut off and isolated, and a change of attitudes in UK politician depends on the UK politicians being able to go there and witness for themselves exactly what is going on in Gaza. That makes sense to me. Okay. Let's move on. Saudi Arabia also blocked a Swedish minister's speech at the Arab League after human rights criticisms came out. So again, we've had this discussion the last few days about Saudi Arabia publicly flogging people and beheading a whole bunch of people. And essentially, a lot of people in the Western countries say, well, those are gross violations of human rights. One of those people that said that was the Swedish foreign minister. He was protesting again against the criticism, or he was speaking out in protest against criticism of human rights abuses in the kingdom. And he apparently was given his hat. He was supposed to be doing a speech at the meeting of Arab League foreign ministers to build cooperation among countries and promote human rights. But he's not going to be allowed to do that now because Saudi Arabia holds all the cards there in the Middle East. Also, should be pointed out, speaking of Saudi Arabia, do you guys know that they have now beheaded more people than ISIS, and they're also the world's largest weapons importer? Yeah, they spent over $6.4 billion on defense purchases in 2014, which actually dislodged India from the top spot. India, their spending stood at about $5.57 billion, again, firmly in second place. But what makes this alarming is the fact that the country of Saudi Arabia has committed and continues to commit war crimes as well as crimes against humanity. It's been uncovered the fact that Saudi Arabia has forced its prisoners to go and fight in Syria, which is, of course, pretty monumental war crime. There's recently passed King Abdullah was also funding Sunni terrorists, according to a WikiLeaks, and Saudi Arabia has beheaded more people than ISIS at this point. Their newest king is also supporting terrorists, so it appears the show is probably going to continue to go on. Let's also point out the fact that Hillary Clinton gladly accepted $500,000 worth of jewels from the Saudi state. She's also scoping this 2016 run at the presidency. So just kind of wanted to point that out again. Saudi Arabia becoming the world's largest importer of weapons and defense systems, overtaking the previous record holder, India, according to a new report which examined the arms trade across 65 countries last year. So, yeah, $6.4 billion on weapons and defense funding there for our biggest ally in the Middle East. Again, also the one who has beheaded more people than ISIS at this point. Good times. Also, a little bit of news coming out of Iraq right now. During the operation, the Sting of the Scorpion, four foreign military advisors were arrested by Iraq for aiding ISIS, according to Iranian Tasnim news agency. So now, again, this is coming out of an Iranian news source, so a lot of stuff in the news kind of being volleyed back and forth between their news organizations and the Israeli / Western news organizations. But three of the four advisors allegedly arrested by Iraq inside of Iraq are U.S. and Israeli dual citizens, not surprised there, with the fourth being from a Persian Gulf country, according to Iraq's Sarma News. So the advisors were arrested in a headquarters location where ISIS was coordinating military operations in Iraq's northern province of Nineveh. And during the operation, ISIS fighters were killed and some were detained. Those that have been detained have now been transferred to Baghdad. So just more evidence coming out of Iraq of collusion between the U.S. and also Israel and also ISIS. Good times. Okay, we really got to talk about, well, we've got about 2 minutes left. I've got some major stuff going on for the UK people. I'm going to skip this real quick because we only have about 2 minutes left, and then I'll come back and we'll go over this story about some pending legislation that's changing in the UK. Lex, talking to you. Also, Kev, if you're out there listening, man, this is a big one. But let's just talk about this really quick. Norway started military drills, obviously among tensions between the West and Russia over the Ukrainian crisis, and despite Moscow reportedly repeatedly condemning NATO exercises and military buildup at its border. So, again, Norway now taking part in massive military exercises, really, involving about 5,000 servicemen in the northern part of the country near the border with Russia, the largest such drill in nearly 50 years. The country's military launch drills, dubbed Joint Viking, on Monday in the northern regions of Laxelv and Alta in the Finnmark county, which border Russia's Murmansk region. The exercise will include the Norwegian Army, Navy, Air Force, and civil defense troops. Morning, Kevin. Alexander Jankov, who is a spokesman for the Norwegian Armed Forces, says 400 military vehicles and all types of weapons will be used in the drill. And according to the Norwegian military, the massive exercise is to show that Norway has the ability to defend Finnmark. Okay. Also, at the same time, over 100 U.S. armed vehicles roll into Latvia, now NATO flexing its muscles all across Europe. Latvia has again confirmed that 120 armored units, including tanks, have been delivered by the United States, according to the Latvian Ministry of Defense. These include M1A2 Abrams tanks and M2A3 Bradley armored vehicles, or as I like to call them, stationary drone targets. That's really what we are. We're rolling out a whole bunch of antiquated military equipment because we are cleaning out the cupboards, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to put all this 1960s technology out there on the front line so Russia has a great opportunity to do some live target training. And I think that's nice of us. I really do. And by Russia, I do mean the Shanghai Corporation Organization. You guys should check them out sometime. I'll blow your mind. We got to go 3 minute break. Appreciate you guys all being in the chat room. I got a big story breaking about the UK, and I appreciate all you guys being over there listening also in the evening time.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp U.S. USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Sound Doctrine Ministries with Kenneth Emmanuel.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys in the chat room. Thank you, Kevin Baker, for being awesome. I just love Truth Frequency Radio. I gotta just say it. This place is just so great. The other hosts are so awesome. If you guys aren't checking out the other shows, I don't know, man. I get up at 8, turn on the radio, and just leave it on all day. And especially now that Roger Sales has got a new show starting after our show today, it's gonna be live all day. It's just absolutely fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. I cannot tell you guys how much all the hosts are just so amazing and supportive, and I just love being here and cannot thank you guys enough. Cannot thank you listeners enough also out there sharing the show, sharing the webpage with people at redpillreports.com. It's just freaking awesome. Just love you guys. Okay. Truth be told, showing me a BDI right now of 568. I'm gonna write that down. I gotta cover a couple other stories before we go get into the economic news right now. Holy cow, ladies and gentlemen, the economic stuff that's going down right now, let's just jump ahead real quick because I'll come back. Oh man, so awesome. Hang on a second, I gotta give some props here. Okay, Kev Baker, I love you, buddy. You are super rad. Okay, let me touch on some economic stuff here real quick because we did just get the BDI number and I want to talk real quickly. Obviously today is this big launch of the Eurozone long-awaited quantitative easing program as the European Central Bank is going to start buying $1 trillion worth of bonds from the bloc member states. This is going to be a big, big deal. Okay, the scheme aims to boost Europe's economy. It was finalized on Thursday of last week and the ECB president Mario Draghi has now cited the success of similar programs launched by the Bank of England and the U.S. Federal Reserve System 6 years ago. Were they successful, those programs? I think the jury might still be out on that. But anyway, here's what we're talking about right now. Let's look at the euro. Well, let's look at the indices right now. Dow is down almost 200 points in early trading. S&P is down about 20 points right now. The big story, though, dollar index. We are just literally spellbound, ladies and gentlemen. Myself and the other two co-creators of Red Pill, we've been talking about this all morning. We're just watching the dollar tick up. I mean, I know the number has been higher before, but we are at 98.37 right now on the dollar index. The dollar index really should be someplace around 70, according to Andrew Gause, who's one of our favorite guests that we bring on. He's a monetary historian. So this whole 98.39 thing gonna have a pretty profound effect on import-export prices, just saying. And also, on the same note, while this quantitative easing is set to begin, we're watching the euro absolutely crash right now. So the dollar is screaming high. The euro is down to 107.37. I'm sorry, 107.31. It just ticked down even a little bit lower right now. We're looking for some safe haven buying right now. It isn't happening in the Dow. It does look like it's happening in Bitcoin right now. Bitcoin is up to 294.41. So there's some international safe haven buying for you, but we're not seeing it in gold. Gold as a 1166, which is, take that as an inside joke from the universe here on 1166 for gold. Silver sitting at 15.70 right now. So again, both of those numbers are down about 0.5% today. So not a lot of safe haven buying going on in the gold market. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. If you guys could, someone could explain to me what was going on with that. And then of course the Baltic Dry Index rising a little bit more today to 568. Thank you, Truth, for keeping that in my face. Again, though, quantitative easing starting today, I think what we'll probably end up seeing is the stock markets over in the European Union start diminishing quite a bit. But I don't think they were expecting the euro to go down quite that far. Okay, I got to get back over into this international story right now because I promised you guys that I would talk about this. This is, yeah, gold, 1162. Go figure. I'm laughing on the inside about that. Somebody out there knows what I'm giggling at. Okay, major new government anti-extremist strategy is going into effect in the UK right now. And this startled me when I read this report, you guys. Again, this is going to ban thousands of Britons from traveling to conflict zones. It's supposed to target Sharia courts and make it harder to obtain citizenship. The reforms come alongside the new 320 ISIS fighters. The news that up to 320 ISIS fighters have returned now to the UK. So this strategy is expected to be made public in the next coming weeks. So I'm giving you guys a heads up right now, and it will become effective as soon as it is rubber stamped by the government. It represents a fundamental retrenchment against Islamists, both those at home and potential recruits from international terrorist conflicts abroad. Repeatedly mentioning British values, it contains a foreword by Conservative Home Secretary Theresa May and is a culmination of her campaign to quote-unquote undermine and eliminate extremism in all its forms. This is startling because they are really throwing down the gauntlet on extremism, and I understand that they're going to be targeting ISIS and they're going to be targeting the Islamic State and they're, you know, basically Muslims there in UK. But what happens after all that's done? And you still have all of this anti-extremism, foundational stuff built. And who are they going to pass this off to is my question. So again, you always have to, it's not just what the government is doing, but when they are putting these things into play that another government could come in later and use against you, that's when you really need to be paying attention. So again, the government will introduce new rules that will make it easier to remove a much greater number of suspected terror recruits from commercial flights traveling to conflict zones. While a no-fly list already exists, UK security forces have been embarrassed by revelations of not just suspected extremists, such as the London-raised Jihadi John, being able to leave Britain, but also women and children. Senior National Coordinator for Counterterrorism Helen Ball announced on Sunday that young and underage females who were reported missing by 22 families over the past year were able to travel to Syria without impediment. So from now on, as well as the no-fly list, companies operating potential terrorist routes, what is a potential terrorist route? Would have to, quote, ask for authority to carry passengers after presenting a boarding list to government agencies, something that is normally done but is not always complied with. And if they don't do it, they're going to be facing a £50,000 fine. So the Home Office has told the Telegraph that it now believes 320 jihadists who have participated in the conflict in Syria and Iraq have returned to the UK, up from the previous estimate of about 250. Two dozen of those have already been involved in terrorist plots inside the United Kingdom, which have been prevented according to authorities. So what we're talking about again is a fight against legal extremism. The domestic segment of the strategy explicitly targets behavior that is quote-unquote often legal but causes quote-unquote very significant damage to our communities. I'm going to say that again. The domestic segment of this strategy explicitly targets behavior that is often legal but causes, according to the authorities, very significant damage to our communities. The initiative proposes an independent review of Sharia courts and councils, which it says are creating a parallel system of law around 85 of these institutions, which have no official legal authority, but are used to settle financial and family issues between Muslims, are thought now to operate in the UK, oftentimes next to mosques. The government says that the Home Office is concerned about the way Sharia councils are working in some parts of the countries, among troubling reports that in some areas women have suffered from the way these councils work, either through forced marriage or through discriminatory divorce proceedings. The Home Office will also combat perfidious entryism, where radical Islamists have infiltrated, partnering up with legitimate organizations to gain positions of influence and better enable them to promote their own values. Among the specific instances, it mentions the Trojan horse plot, in which radical Muslims acquired positions of power in as many as 21 schools in Birmingham, which they then used to Islamize the institutions and sideline opposition. The Home Office says the plot was not an isolated example, either. The document promises not only to root out extremism in schools, but also to take steps to ensure the safeguarding of children in hitherto unregulated places by preventing radical religious teachers from contacting minors. One of the Trojan Plot teachers is continuing to tutor students in a private center and would be banned from doing so under the new laws. Higher learning institutions such as the University of Westminster, which was Imwazi's alma mater, who is Jihadi John, which has also become an alleged hotbed of Islamic radicalization, has hosted hate preachers, also could be affected, and the government will introduce the power to refuse or remove licenses to sponsor visa applications from any institution in the UK which promotes extremist views or knowingly and without challenge hosts extremist speakers. This is scary. This is a slippery slope here, guys, because what is an extremist speaker? They're talking about yanking licenses from schools that have affiliations with extremist speakers. I guarantee you that people who are speaking out against 9/11 or people who are speaking out against the corporate criminal cabal that is running the banking system, those people are going to be labeled as extremists. They're already labeled as extremists in our country. So there you go. And again, yes, Lex, I agree with you. A lot of these terrorists, quote unquote, are not real. This is a very big, I don't just think this is anti-Muslim propaganda, though. I think this is setting the stage for a larger slippery slope to come. I think they're going to start, I've been in your world, Kev. I lived in Hull, okay, the worst city in this in the country of England. And if you're listening from Hull, please don't get me wrong. I love your city. I miss your city. It was actually your city that convinced me that the very long scene in Shaun of the Dead where he exits his apartment and walks to the grocery store and is actually surrounded by zombies but doesn't notice. It was, in fact, the city of Hull that made me realize that that was actually pretty plausible, that you could, in fact, there could be a zombie attack in the city of Hull. And I'd say it'd be about 50-50 that you would actually notice. So if you're planning on going to Hull, my one piece of advice, watch where you step. That's pretty much all I have to say about that. But I love it, and I miss it, and I would move back to the UK in a heartbeat if you guys could get rid of all of the cameras and things like that. But again, this whole big thing right now, I think, is a pretty big deal. I think, again, they are going to be ramping up the rhetoric against not just Muslim extremists, but against all kinds of extremists. And now they're going to have this system in play. They continue to ramp up the fear against extremists and, anybody who then is labeled as an extremist, well, you're going to be under the guise of this new law and this new legal system. So I don't know. To me, that's scary. So I wanted to point that out to all of you guys because I want to keep you in the loop. I'm not sure when it's actually going to come into effect. Again, I said they're going to introducing that in the next couple of weeks. So we will see, and we'll keep you guys up to date, and I'm sure Kev will follow up on that as well. Let's talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton, because all of us love her so much. Just a little late breaking story from yesterday. We've talked a little bit about how Ms. Clinton decided to have a private email server at her own home to handle some of her business off the book, so to speak. Well, turns out she actually fired her chief of staff, the ambassador there, chief of staff for Ms. Clinton, again, fired earlier this week. Why was he fired? Well, because he was using his Gmail account at the U.S. Embassy. So literally that's what just happened. Hillary Clinton firing her chief of staff from the embassy there in the U.S. Embassy because he was using private email clients. So hello, pot, you are kettle, and we are black. Also, Hillary Clinton's ambitions are being kind of ensnared in this obscure gold mining project in Haiti. This is kind of just breaking across the wire right now. But I'll tell you what, every time you look around, it really seems like the powers that be have got it in for Hillary Clinton at this point because she is all over the news. But again, she's now been ensnared in this obscure gold mining project in Haiti as the Democratic favorite for the presidency begins her second run for the White House in a story that suggests cronyism, questionable ethics, and a blurring of the lines between charity and profiteering. The Daily Mail has now reported just Sunday this week that Hillary Clinton's brother, Tony Rodham, sat on the board of VCS Mining when the unlisted Delaware-based junior was granted a permit to mine gold in Haiti following a massive earthquake on the impoverished island nation back in 2010. The permit was the first gold exploratory permit to be granted in over 50 years. And VCS Mining wrote in the press release announcing the awarding of the 5-year exploitation permit. So while Rodham's involvement in the gold project called Morn Bossa would normally be of little cause for concern, what has raised eyebrows is the timing of the permit, which was granted 2 years after the earthquake that killed over 100,000 people, and the fact that Rodham was a board member of the North Carolina mining company that enjoyed prime access to the Haitian gold deposits in the wake of post-earthquake relief work organized by, you guessed it, former President Bill Clinton through the Clinton Foundation. All of this according to the Daily Mail. So, there you go. Basically, Mrs. Clinton, her brother, sitting on the board of directors of a North Carolina mining company that was granted exploratory mining permits for the first time in 50 years in Haiti after the Clintons strategically placed themselves into the landscape there under the guise of humanitarian aid after the giant earthquake. I cannot believe I just put all that together in my head at the same time. I can't believe it. That just actually worked. Okay, so that's what's going on with Hillary. Not a good person. Please don't vote for her. That's pretty much all I have to say about that. Also, okay, moving on. What else is going on? Supreme Court is going to be hearing a challenge to the death penalty for the first time in a very long time. So Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case from Timothy Lee Hurst. He's been on Florida's death row for more than a decade, but he is arguing that his sentence is unconstitutional. And now, for the first time, the Supreme Court has agreed to hear him out. Now, Hurst is not a good dude. We'll just say that right now. He was convicted of first-degree murder in the grisly death of a woman who was working at a Popeyes restaurant. She was found in the store's freezer, bound, gagged, and stabbed at least 60 times with a box cutter, and the store's safe had been emptied. So again, not a good dude. So he went on trial. A couple of his friends testified that he had admitted to the crime. One of them actually helped hide the body and all kinds of other nefarious activities. But anyway, long story short is he was convicted of first-degree murder, sentenced to death, and they appealed that first case. during the appeal process, his defense attorney essentially outlined the fact that the guy was mentally incompetent, which I don't know if that's true or not. But it turns out in Florida that that whole concept of being mentally incompetent doesn't play into whether or not a jury can convict you to death. So they can be presented with the information, but because it's not information that the judge instructs them to consider, it really doesn't have any basic, doesn't have any merit on their decision to put this guy to death. And so the lawyer is basically saying they need to change the rules in Florida so that in instances where a gentleman or a woman could be shown to be mentally, divergent, that they wouldn't be subject to death. That the jury essentially needs to have an option to sentence them to a full life sentence, given mental constraints of the individual, and they're not given that right now. So it's really Florida's mandatory, or what do you want to call it? Florida's death penalty that's on the line right now, and it's really the logistics and how it comes about that is on trial right now. Also, pardon me. In another story about the Supreme Court, hang on just one second here. I gotta wet my whistle. Coffee is good. Why is coffee so good? Okay. And another story about the Supreme Court, and this literally has to be the most confusing story I've ever read in my entire life. I had to read this 916 times to figure out what in the heck they were trying to say. So I'll say the first paragraph, and then I'll back up and I'll try and put it into English for everybody here, but talk about a lot of double negatives here. Okay, so the Supreme Court, as of yesterday, they threw out an appeal court decision that went against the University of Notre Dame over its religious objections to the Obamacare health law's contraceptive requirement. All right, so the justices asked the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to reconsider its decision in favor of the Obama administration in light of the June 2014 Supreme Court ruling that allowed closely held corporations to seek exemptions from the provision. The court action means that the February 2014 appeals court ruling that denied South Bend, South Bend, Indiana-based Roman Catholic University, talking about Notre Dame here, the court action yesterday means that the February 2014 appeals court ruling that denied Notre Dame's an injunction against the requirement has been wiped out. Okay, I've read that 17 times now. Well, 917 times. And it still doesn't make any sense because they're trying to make it very difficult to understand. But essentially what they are saying right now is that Notre Dame is off the hook for providing contraception now under the Obamacare administration. And what are they hanging their hat on? They're hanging their hat on the 2014 ruling that said that Hobby Lobby, again on religious grounds, could seek exemptions from the contraception provision. And I'm 1,000% in support of this because we're not talking about condoms, right? This is not a condom or a birth control thing. This is, has more to do with those abortion pills. And, you know, I'm a very staunch, I'll just go ahead and pigeonhole myself right now. I'm a pro-lifer. That's not to say that I think that I have the right to tell anybody else what to do with their body. But I am, I don't feel like murdering people. I mean, if you understand where the idea of abortion really comes from and the fact that it has been used as a tool for a eugenics initiative. I mean, more than 50% of black Americans are never born in this country because of abortion clinics. More than 50% of black children are not born in this country because of Planned Parenthood. That is an agenda. That is a program. That is not, you know, that is not just because, you know, it's not a coincidence that those organizations are put in areas like that. Anyway. So essentially, Obamacare mandates that everybody needs to be able to get those day after or 3 day after abortion pills, and these Catholic institutions are saying, "Well, no, we're not. You're not going to make us pay to murder people. We're just not going to do that." And I fully, completely agree with that. So it looks like the Supreme Court again has ruled in favor of Notre Dame and has thrown out the injunction against their. Man, this is just a tough one, guys. I hate the way they write these articles. But again, Supreme Court did wipe out the ruling on Obamacare's contraception mandate. That's really what it comes down to right now. So, I really think that Obamacare, we're going to start seeing unwind here as we go forward in the future, which is totally fine with me. And I'm sure Dr. Sherry Tenpenny will agree with that as well. Okay. What else is going on? Oh, just a little quick IG audit. Did you guys know that there are more than 6.5 million people with active Social Security numbers indicating that they are more than 112 years old? That's right. Social Security Administration, much like the State Department, they don't have computers or any kind of system to actually keep track of anything, which is why the State Department lost $6 billion under the eyes of Hillary Clinton. Only they had some kind of computers that they could integrate and maybe like a spreadsheet program. But also Social Security Administration, they don't have that. They don't have any ability to look at death dates and say, you know, these people who are still filing taxes are 114 years old and maybe we should do something about that. But they're not doing anything about it right now. Again, 6.5 million people with active Social Security numbers over the age of 114 actively participating right now in the economy, ladies and gentlemen. Good times. Happy to be a part of the whole team here. Let's move on. Let's see here. We were going to talk about, we kind of went over the economic news. We've only got about 4 minutes left. I want to make sure that I'm not missing any major economic news. There's some pretty good economic news coming out about McDonald's. They're already down another 4% this year. So I love that. I'd love to see them make an actual change to their menus, maybe start providing some actual food as opposed to trying to encourage people to get vaccines or something stupid like that. But anyway, McDonald's still going down the tubes right now and couldn't be happier about that. I have not eaten there in, man, a number of years. It's any wonder I'm still alive, though, with as much McDonald's as I used to eat as a kid. ISIS got a $7 million Pentagon cyber contract. Not that ISIS. It's a different ISIS. It's an ISIS with a very unfortunate name. They're pulling together military's most cutting-edge computer and information assets. So the Defense Department, again, hiring this little Virginia startup company called, unfortunately for them, ISIS. But the Threat Intelligence Platform Project will help the Pentagon analysts sift through big data research to track threats, including, presumably, the Islamic State extremists. So the winning contractor, ISIS Defense, might want to think about rebranding itself or maybe just stick with the name and get a whole bunch of free advertising. But again, company doesn't have a really major web presence right now, but again, they got a really big contract. They were shortlisted from DARPA. They got $7 million. Yeah, they're basically working with DARPA to build a new threat intelligence and cyber analytics platform. So good for them. Thought it was interesting that they had a different name. Also today, this is kind of cool in science and tech stuff. Swiss aviators Bertrand Piccard and André Borschberg will embark on an epic journey aboard Solar Impulse 2. This is an airplane entirely powered by solar power, and it is going to take them around the world. The five-month, 35,000-kilometer trip will start and end in Dubai. So wait a minute. 5 months. Okay. We need to talk a little bit about the plane itself. It's got a wingspan larger than a Boeing 747. Solar Impulse is completely covered in solar panels, almost 17,000 of them to be precise. And these power electrical motors, which in turn spin rotors and also charge four giant lithium batteries, which weigh a monstrous 633 kilograms. This way, the plane can theoretically fly nonstop, even through cloudy or dark weather, because it has a low cruising speed, and more importantly, the flight conditions are not nearly mint. So temperatures range inside the canopy from negative 40 to 40 degrees centigrade. The cockpit is also extremely cramped, and there's no room to sleep. So listen to this. The pilots are forced to make the journey in 12 different legs, each one spanning 25 days. So basically, they're flying around in a kitchen with wings on it. And so to pilot the aircraft for 5 days straight, each of the two pilots are not allowed to sleep longer than 20 minutes for every 2 to 4 hours. So to cope with this, the pilots have been practicing yoga and self-hypnosis. So they are really going to try and do this thing, but I cannot imagine strapping myself into a kitchen sink and flying around the world for especially 5 days at a time without a break. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? That's crazy town. Crazy town. Okay. We're getting ready to go to a break. What else do we want to talk about? Did you guys hear that Apple released a $10,000 iWatch yesterday? Yeah. Solid gold. 2 ounces of, 18 karat gold. It's going to cost 10,000 bucks. I think that's a little obscene to me. They're projected if they spend or if they sell as many as they're projected to spend, they think it's going to take up about half of the gold supply on the planet. Also, in really sweet science and tech news, Russians have now developed a hybrid fusion-fission reactor, and they are offering China a pretty substantial role in continuing this project. Isn't it interesting to see some of the – you got to go to redpillreports.com and check out the story about this hybrid fusion-fission reactor, because they look amazing. They look nothing like – an American nuclear power plant. And I gotta wonder too, if Russia and China are just gearing up, they're moving forward with fission and fusion designs. they're way more technologically advanced than we are. And here we are with our infrastructure crumbling. I think that they are gonna EMP us and then leave us in the dust for 100 years, and it'll be good payback for everything that we've done to them. But anyway, go check out the story. It's really interesting. Hybrid fusion fission reactors, and they're working with China. They are amazing designs, and they're not critical. They won't ever melt down. It's very, very cool stuff. That's what's going on in science and tech. We've got Dr. Sherry Tenpenny joining us here in about 3 minutes. We're going to be talking about natural health, vaccinations, and some important tips that she picked up this weekend. So keep it right here, guys. 3 minute break. We'll be right back.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
You must unite what has been set asunder.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Oh, welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I forgot to mute my microphone there for a second, so here we are. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break, and thank all of you in the chat room at Truth Frequency Radio. We have got a full crowd, and people are lining up with good questions for our guest, and I can totally understand why they are in there. We are getting ready to have another high watermark on the program here, ladies and gentlemen. It is my distinct privilege and pleasure to be welcoming back to the program Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. For those of you guys who don't know Dr. Tenpenny, she is a board-certified osteopathic medical doctor from Cleveland, Ohio. She's also the founder of the Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center, which is a clinic that specializes in holistic health and healing, including breast thermography, allergy relief, and bioidentical hormones. Dr. Tenpenny is an internationally known expert on the problems associated with vaccines as well. She's produced many educational DVDs, is the author of 2 books, one called Foul, which makes the connection between bird flu and environmental pollution, and the other, Saying No to Vaccines, which is a guide written to help adults and parents refute the most common reasons to vaccinate. She is truly the voice of reason about alternative medicine, and Dr. Tenpenny is an outspoken advocate for free choice in healthcare, including the right to refuse vaccinations. She's also done hundreds of TV and radio interviews, and she is a repeat guest on Coast to Coast AM and also now on RedPillReports.com. For that, we are truly, truly thankful. I highly recommend people check out all of her websites. DrTenpenny.com would be the first one. If you are interested in the Integrative Medical Center, you can go to TenpennyIMC.com. And if you're interested in doing some research on this vaccination issue, which we will be talking about quite a bit, vaccineresearchlibrary.com is another one. And she also contributes to edgytruth.com. So lots of good places you can go and find out more about Dr. Tenpenny. But don't do it right now because we have her live right here, ladies and gentlemen. So Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast.
Oh, you're welcome. I look forward to this, doing this every month with you.
Me too. Oh man, this is, as I keep saying, a high watermark, and I just absolutely love your insight. Now, last time you were on the program, you were having some international trouble with the country of Australia, and I know we have a lot of people tuned into the chat room right now, and I don't know if anybody, if we ever got any resolution on that issue, so maybe we could pick it up there and just kind of let us know what happened with that issue and kind of what's going on right now with you, Miss.
Well, for people who were not aware of what was going on, I'll just give a little thumbnail of what was happening. Is that I was going to Australia on vacation, met some people who said, why don't we set up some speaking venues for you? So it wasn't that I went there and set up speaking venues. I was going there as an invited guest to speak for some people, and I was not the only person to be speaking at the seminars. There was several people, they were family and whole life living seminars, and so there were several other speakers that were on the roster. Mm-hmm. We had everything set up, and on January the 4th, the pro-vaccine lobby and the Australian skeptics got word of the fact that I was coming there to give people other information than the mainstream vaccination information and offering them an opportunity to ask questions and perhaps have more informed consent. they hit the news with a news blitz, and it went in the Guardian and the Daily Telegraph and went all over Australia, and I was on many radio interviews and the Today Show twice in Australia by satellite, and then it went across the pond to the UK, and I started getting calls from there to be on interviews in Europe and then all across the US to say, I was only going to go there, probably speak to a handful of people, mostly speaking to the choir, and now they've made it into an international event. They were calling for my visa to be revoked and stopping me at the border, and then there were some subtle hints and not so subtle hints about potentials of boycotts and violence, and after a while it just became not safe for anybody, for me or the other speakers or perhaps even the people that would be in attendance to go. And so we canceled all of those things. We're probably going to be doing a webinar, a live webinar here coming up in a couple of months. We're working on the technology for that. And we'll be able to invite people from all across the world to be on that webinar, all across the U.S., New Zealand, and Australia. And so as we keep doing these shows, I'll keep everybody posted.
Nice. Well, you know, and in the vein of there's no publicity or no good publicity or what is it? How do they say that? There's no bad publicity. I mean, really, yes. What you're able to say now
all
is
all publicity is publicity.
Yeah.
Even bad publicity is publicity.
Exactly. And this has to bring, you know, the spectrum of vaccination back into the forefront of the minds of the Australian people. So, you know, I would think that they kind of did themselves a disservice by not bringing you there and by putting it in all the newspapers, because a lot of people who probably were completely out of the loop were now brought into the loop, and now that they realize that there's actually something to think about here. So maybe it wasn't necessarily the worst case scenario, and I wonder if that will help you drum up, I mean, obviously if you want to come here and talk about the webinar, we'll pump that thing all over the universe if we can, you know.
Well, what was in, and you're exactly right. I mean, one of the first radio interviews I did with the largest radio station in Sydney was exactly that. At the end of it, the interviewer said to me, were you surprised by the blowback from the media here in Australia? And I said, completely. In fact, I was going to, probably over a course of 3 weeks, because the seminars were on the weekends and then I was going to travel and have my vacation during the middle parts of the week, I would have probably spoken to maybe 1,200 people in 7 different venues and, you know, 5 different cities, mostly speaking to the choir, and you people made it into an international incident, and millions of more people who didn't even know to ask questions about vaccines are now saying, what is this whole thing about? So you made it into an international event, and the interviewer actually said, well, yeah, I got to give that to you. So, and I believe that has continued on. I mean, it was a very long news cycle. I mean, it started January 4th, and, you know, it was in the news and all the news here and in the UK and Australia longer than the Ebola thing was in the news.
Right.
You know, about Dr. Sherry Tempany coming to Australia and speaking to some people about problems associated with vaccines. I mean, who knew?
Hmm. Well, I gotta say though, last time you were on the show, we did kind of get into the vaccination issue, but, you know, that is a major, major component of my life. You know, I've got a vaccine injured brother, and it's one of those issues that's really difficult to talk about. But let's just break it down for people again. And for people out there, I know that my father's listening and he is not a natural health kind of guy. All of this kind of stuff is going to be new. And I know there's a lot of new listeners out there that might be in that same boat. So could we let's break it down some of your concerns about vaccination just for a few minutes, if you would, and really express to people. Last time we talked about the fact that it wasn't just the ingredients that were really important, but it's also the volume. And a lot of people out there, I think, that are kind of the older generation, that maybe if you're a grandparent and haven't had exposure to, you know, needing to make these decisions on a much more regular basis with your children than you would have had, you know, being an older citizen, there's a lot of changes that have taken place in the vaccine world. And I just wonder if you can touch on some of those for us, if you would, Sherry.
I think a lot of it has to do with the sheer number. I mean, up till 1985, there were only 3 vaccines that were given to children. It was the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, the DPT, which is diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, and the polio vaccine. Up through 1985, that was it. And now we give children 49 doses of 16 different vaccines by the time they start kindergarten. And then there's, as they go into middle school, we add Gardasil and Manactra. And then we give annual flu shots every year from the time that children are 6 months of age. And so all of this cumulative toxicity that goes into people's system, things like animal DNA, I mean, there's DNA that's there because there are chicken cells and cow serum, which is the bovine serum, the dog kidney cells, and some of the flu shots are now being made with insect DNA in them.
DNA?
Insects.
Oh, my gosh.
There are cells from aborted fetal tissues that come from fetal tissues from lungs and eyes. There's a whole process with this one type of cell that's made from aborted cells from retinas. And so as these things, and then there's formaldehyde and Triton X100, which is a DNA disrupting detergent. There's aluminum, and yes, there's still mercury in the multi-dose flu shots. Mm-hmm. And when you accumulate, and those are just the highlights of some, there are 63 different types of chemicals that when you look up the MSDS sheets, they all have toxicities.
That's right.
And they disrupt the DNA, and there's this process called transcession where the DNA of one substance can get incorporated into the DNA of another. And so are we changing the entire human genome?
Yes.
By injecting all of these animal cells and aluminum and heavy metals and formaldehyde, which is now known to, is actually listed on the known carcinogen list. And so we do this without even thinking about it. One of the things that have come up recently is the discussion about, you know, the whole measles thing that happened, you know, a few weeks ago.
Right.
Which came right as I was winding down the Australia thing, the measles thing was ramping up. And so it's been a very long cycle of discussions about this because measles was always just a disease of inconvenience in people in the 50-year-old age group or older. I mean, in fact, they had measles parties like they had chicken pox parties.
Right.
So that you could get this when you're age appropriate and just get it over with and have a lifetime of immunity. And now we've got everybody, you know, all scared about measles and running out to get the MMR vaccine. And at the same time, we had more than 100 bills introduced to almost all 50 states wanting to revoke parents' rights to refuse and rights to choose, to revoke the religious exemptions and to take away the philosophical exemptions. And this happened in a consolidated, uniform, happening all at the same time, very contrived. And I think I pulled out where this all came from in an article I published on my website today, drtenpenny.com, and I posted it up on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And the name of the article is Healthy People 2020 and the Decade of Vaccines. And all of this started actually, you know, we think all of these rules and laws or these new bills that have been introduced to try to remove your right to refuse all started just with this measles uproar. But actually it started back in 1976. And when Congress created the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, I mean, who knew? I've never even heard of that office before. And it still exists, and it's one of the arms of the CDC. Mm. And the Surgeon General and the Assistant Attorney General at that time did a review of the health of the United States, and that was in the late 1970s, and came up with 5 objectives for a healthy nation. And that, then the Institute of Medicine created another document and set forth 226 measurable health objectives. And the two of those pieces together became known Healthy People 1999. So these were the goals from 1980 up through 1990 that they wanted to implement. And some of them were good, like there was a big push at that point in time on smoking, and the Surgeon General was starting to say that smoking really did cause cancer, and that was at the same time when the tobacco industries were lying to Congress and covering up all of their data. And so there were some good things in there, but one of the things that was in there was the groundwork for mandatory mass vaccination. They came up with goals to have a 60% influenza vaccination rate and to have all children fully vaccinated with those 3 available vaccines. So that was in Healthy People 1990, and then they did Healthy People 2000. And then in 2010, they came forth with Healthy People 2020, which are the current guidelines. And the recommendations had gone from 15 topics and 226 objectives to 42 topics and more than 1,200 objectives. And how every federal agency and the federal agency working group worked on this, which was the Department of Agriculture, Education, and Transportation. Every element of your life that you can think of is now wanting to be governed, controlled, managed, and manipulated by the Department of Health and Human Services, the CDC, and our government.
Right.
They came up with a national vaccine plan at that time that came out of the Department of HHS, which then created the Decade of Vaccines. And inside of that, there's a document that was written by the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation that has the absolute playbook of what we are seeing right now going on to minimize vaccine exemptions, really push forward public education about the importance of vaccines, expand delivery sites, develop tracking systems, and have all of the recommended vaccines be a requirement of employment
yes.
for healthcare workers. And I believe that that requirement of employment will go beyond healthcare workers to others.
I think
and this should make people enraged that our nanny mm-hmm. state government is doing this to us.
Well, I was just reading on the Health and Human Services website maybe like a week ago that they put up for public comment now, for the next week or something, a really short period. About this idea of rolling the mandatory vaccines into the Obamacare thing. And what scares me about that is that there's all these crazy people on the internet, Sherry, that are, you know, the conspiracy theorists out there that said once Obamacare went into effect, they would essentially be able to say, hey, you know, you're coming to the hospital right now and you're sick, but I can look at your records because they're stored in the cloud and everybody can see them, that you didn't get your flu shot last year. So now not only are we going to withhold medical care from you, but since you came to a public facility, obviously you're a bioterrorist because you decided not to get, you know what I mean? Like the slippery slope that we're on, if Health and Human Services decides to roll in, they were even talking about catch-up vaccinations. So saying like, say you haven't gotten a vaccination in 10 years and you've got, you know, four different categories of three different shots you've got to get, they'll give them to you all on the same day just to make sure you're all caught up.
They call it capture. While we have you here, we may not get a chance to do this again, so we will give you everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the concerns. I mean, what you're talking about too is the next phase, and this is another article. Well, another article that I just posted yesterday. That article, I really hope that everybody will go to my website. Go to drtenpenny.com.
Yes.
Click on articles and read that Healthy People 2020 article that I was just quoting from. And then if you click on the blog tab, I put up a shorter version of a blog. And it says, and the title is, Your Doctor is Required to Give Your Medical Records to the Government. And it goes through and lays out how the electronic medical records co-opted physicians starting in 2011 to be able to put all this data in, and now it became a data collection place,
mm-hmm.
and now they are required to turn it over to the government, or they will have their salaries, and the hospitals will get Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement cut by up to 5%
wow.
if they do not comply, and one of the line items is immunization status. And so I just got another article thing that I'm going to be working on this article over the weekend on the new plan for the National Adult Immunization Plan. So a lot of people may say, well, I don't have kids, or my kids are grown, and the kids that I don't have grandkids yet, so I'm not too concerned about this. But the next wave is there's more than 300 vaccines in the pipeline. The ones that, and many of them are cancer vaccines or anti-cancer vaccines, but about at least half of them are for every other type of pathogen. They've got periodontal disease and high blood pressure vaccines, and all of these things are going to be headed towards adolescents and adults.
Hmm.
So if they take away our right to refuse for our children and school exemptions, do you think they're going to give adults the right to refuse that obesity vaccine or that depression vaccine if your doctor thinks you should have it?
I can almost picture it now. You know how they come in, all the credit card companies come into the colleges and set up in the, you know, in the auditorium, and you go around, you figure out how you're going to get into debt for the rest of your life. I could see them doing that exact same thing on a college setting with all of these pharmy, you know, manufacturers coming in. That's when children are too young to make a good, proper decision and can be just lied to like that. I could see that happening really, really easily, Sherry.
See, and I think that I have even further possibilities. I mean, the sinisterness and the sinister stuff behind this is just crazy. And the people out on the internet who are like this rabidly pro-vaccine stuff, like, yes, you need to get your kids vaccinated because your unvaccinated kids could make my kids sick. It's like, really? You believe in vaccines and you really think that?
Let's talk about
really?
That, because that doesn't make any sense to me. And also, we need to talk about I've read a lot of stuff recently that says that when you get an MMR shot, you shed that measles, you know, disease for weeks, if not a month or two.
Yeah, there was even an article, a post that came out of Johns Hopkins University, of the Johns Hopkins University and hospital there that said that if you were on chemotherapy, you should not go out in public and protect yourself, and you should also not be around people who have been recently vaccinated with mm-hmm. the MMR vaccine, the chickenpox vaccine, the shingles vaccine, or a flu shot, because those viruses shed and they could make you sick. And so all of this big push to get everyone vaccinated because that somehow makes you healthier than the people who are unvaccinated is absolutely mind-warped indoctrination that has no basis in fact.
I agree. I mean, it has to be. You need to get your kid vaccinated so my vaccinated kid doesn't get sick. I mean, somebody explain to me that logic loop, because I took logic in college and that wasn't in the textbook.
I've said for the longest time, and I've had this on a tagline of one of my email addresses. I have many, and one of them is vaccination, a 200-year mistake. Because I've done a lot of research and I've done a lot of publication things about the smallpox vaccine, uh-huh. and read a lot of books about when Jenner actually came into play and how he actually got co-opted into the system, and that from the very beginning, the whole vaccine issue was co-opted by physicians and politicians and big money and whoever came up with the idea of scraping cow pus off of the belly of a cow or pus off of the foot of a horse. And cutting, put slices in the arms of a baby and slathering that stuff on there that somehow that was going to keep them from getting sick. I mean, it's just sinister. I mean, who would ever think to do something like that?
Nazis. Nazis would think to do something like that. Just saying.
So maybe, well, yes, or even, you know, previous to that. I mean, all kinds of sinister things, because mm-hmm. when you think about what's in the vaccines and being injected into children and being injected into adults, and somehow we have co-opted people's thinking into believing that injection of things that could kill you is health. I mean, how far have we warped our sensibilities that people can't even think that through? And they're so afraid of a cough, a fever, a rash, and some diarrhea that they're willing to take the long-term risk rather than to take care of their health and make sure their vitamin D level is up and take vitamins and eat well and get to bed on time and get some exercise and not eat McDonald's every day. Just take care of your body. You don't need that stuff injected into your system.
That's right. I think the person who made us had a pretty good plan when he put us all together. It seems to like all our systems probably work pretty well. You know what I mean? And I always come back to this idea too, that the people who are telling us about the vaccines are the same people that in 1953 told us that 20 out of 20 doctors, you know, preferred the Chesterfield cigarette brand over all the other ones. I mean, these are the same people running the show, you know?
Right. Right. And these are the people, when you look at the pharmaceutical industry and that they pay fines in the tens of billions of dollars, more than some countries' GDP, mm-hmm. on a regular basis for their faulty pills and products. That these are the same people that we're going to trust to make something that's going to be injected into our body that's not going to harm us. These are the same people that are, you know, once you get injected with something and you get sick, you may not get sick enough to file a vaccine injury claim with the injury compensation program. Mm-hmm. But so now you're stuck with that and you've become a customer for life with the pharmaceutical industry. Mm-hmm. I personally believe, it's my personal opinion, that the vaccines are the driver for the healthcare driver. They drive up all the costs. Because out of every 100 people that get vaccinated, a certain percentage of them are going to have a serious side effect.
Right.
Then they have to go to the doctor, they have to get tests, they have to get blood tests, they get put on pills, they go from doctor to doctor to doctor to try to find out what's wrong with them. There are billions of dollars, tens of billions, even more than that, mm-hmm. spent every year on trying to diagnose a vaccine injury. When if the doctor would have said for at the beginning of that line, oh, you got a flu shot? Maybe this is a side effect from this, rather than saying it's never the flu shot. I mean, if I got a shot of penicillin and I had an anaphylactic reaction, I'd wear a medic alert bracelet the rest of my life.
Right.
No penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
But vaccines are always held harmless. They never cause any problems. And they are the big drivers, because if these people get sick and they get asthma, allergies, eczema, ADD, ADHD, insulin-dependent diabetes, a list of autoimmune diseases, long list of neurological diseases like attached to the hepatitis B vaccine, encephalopathy with the MMR vaccine, and on and on and on, well, now you've just become a customer for life of the drug companies, that they have one book of business called vaccines that they gave you that made you sick. So now you're required to take their other book of business, their pills.
That's right. What do you think, if you had to put a number on it, what would the dis-ease industry's total volume be, you think? I mean, how much money are we thinking that these people are actually making keeping us unwell?
Well, the last time I looked, which was just a few days ago, there was an article that I found that said the global pharmaceutical industry now in 2015 is just about $1 trillion a year.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's globally. Mm-hmm. And so a percentage of those is a big percentage, in my opinion, is going to be unwell children and adults, particularly in this country, because we've got the most aggressive vaccination schedules of anywhere in the world. And when you look at the unvaccinated kids, they're healthy. They never get sick.
They're incredibly healthy. I mean, I can look across a crowd of kids and I can tell you which ones have had their vaccines and which ones haven't. I mean, it's visibly notable, in my opinion.
Yes, and I have, you know, like my chiropractor that works in my office, you know, he says that he coaches soccer for his kids, and his kids are unvaccinated, and he said, you know, Dr. Tenpenny, I just think that my kids are just average. I mean, they're not brilliant. They're average. They're good kids. Mm-hmm. But they look like geniuses compared to the rest of these kids on the soccer team. He said these kids, they're dull-eyed, and they can't follow two-step commands like run down the field, kick the ball, come back.
Right.
They can't do that. You know, and he said, and they make my kids look like they're brilliant. He says, and I'm telling you, my kids are just like normal kids. And this is what all the kids should look like, but they've been dumbed down, medicated, they're sick, they don't feel good, their brains are inflamed, mm-hmm. all because parents don't want them to have a cough, a rash, or a fever, because they're scared to death of that.
And meanwhile, the parents are busy giving them soda at every meal and not paying attention to what they're feeding their kids. I've got a friend, I think I told you this last time I was on the show, my friend Jen, was talking, she's got two kids and they all went out and got flu shots, and I had warned her, I said, please don't go do this. This is just, you haven't had one in years. You're not a sick person. You don't need to go get one of these. Immediately, almost in the hospital, she was down for like 4 days, strep throat, almost going to die. And one of her sick kids got really sick too. So she took one of her kids to the hospital, and she came back on Facebook and was like, well, the hospital's recommending that I don't give my kids soda anymore. And I was just like, wow, you had to take your kid to the hospital and have an actual doctor tell you that giving your kid, you know, four sodas a week with a pH of like 3 possibly is causing some negative things to happen to your kid. And here you are complaining, saying, you know, we've all got ADHD. And it's just like, Jen, I've watched you eat garbage since high school. Like, there's so much that we can do. I think that's where we're going to go for next, if that's okay with you, Dr. Tenpenny. We got to go to this 3-minute break, but I want to come back and talk to some of these parents, that are maybe making these poor decisions, or maybe they have vaccine injured children, or maybe are vaccine injured themselves, and talk a little bit about what we can do, you know, some of the natural remedies to try and alleviate some of these symptoms, if that's okay with you, Dr. Tenpenny.
Yeah, I think we'll do that. And then I think we ought to talk about some political activism.
Yes.
Get your listeners involved.
Yes, I want to do all of that. So we got to go to this 3-minute break. Thank you, guys. Full chat room today. Love seeing you guys in there. Shoot your questions over there. I will ask her about, I have one other question I've got to get back to also from the chat room. So remind me about that. Dr. Tenpenny, we'll be back. 3-minute break. Keep it right here, guys.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case, and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine.
including all heavy metals.
We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine now. Only at hempusa.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
The White Buffalo with John Phillips,
Tuesday through Thursdays, on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you who are in the chat room right now. It's the largest chat room crowd we've ever had on the program. Also the largest number of live streams we've ever had. And I know a lot of you guys have lined up to hear from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And it is our esteemed privilege to be bringing her to you guys today. So appreciate you guys all being part of the forum today. Dr. Tenpenny, before we were going to the break, we were going to come back and we're going to talk some about the vaccination issues in terms of after effects, what people are having to deal with now. I want to just pause for a quick second to ask you a question that came from the chat room. We had talked a little bit about some of the ingredients in these vaccines, and someone just had a real specific question about the inclusion of polysorbate 80 in the Gardasil vaccinations. And this is something I'm not intimately aware of or have no knowledge of. What is polysorbate 80, and are the people in the chat room right to be concerned about its inclusion in the Gardasil vaccination?
Yes, and not only is it in the Gardasil vaccine, but it's also in some of the DPT vaccines.
Okay.
And so they get sensitized to it at 2, 4, and 6 months, and then when they become 9 or 10 years of age, they can get sensitized to it or reintroduced to the polysorbate 80 in that vaccine. It can cause anaphylactic shock.
Oh.
The polysorbate 80 has been known in some small investigations to cause testicular atrophy in male mice, and uterine and ovarian atrophy in female mice.
Oh, my God.
So the polysorbate 80 is potentially going to cause problems with infertility. And, of course, when you read all of the package inserts, there's always a line item that says that these vaccines have not been studied for mutagenicity, which means changing your DNA,
right,
carcinogenicity, causing you cancer, or infertility.
Oh,
none of
man.
Them have been studied for that, but these ingredients, when you look up at their MDSD sheets, you know, the material safety data information, mm-hmm. it will have all kinds of toxic things, and most of those things are toxicities from just having them be either ingested, breathed in, or spilled on your skin topically. And if they cause that much problems from those ways, what if we are injecting it right into your muscle?
Oh, man. Or into a baby that doesn't have a proper, you know, blood-brain barrier yet.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Okay, I want to jump into the other topic that we were going to talk about with the – well, I want to kind of attack this from two different areas, because obviously there are people out there who are vaccine injured and need some help. There are parents out there who would like to make some changes in their children's lives. But I also wonder if maybe you could touch on – just the hypothetical situation where somebody who maybe works in the medical profession knows they're going to have to take a vaccine and really cannot get out of it. Is there anything they can do to kind of bolster their immune system in apprehension or in terms of knowing that they're going to have to take some of this stuff on in the future?
Well, it's becoming really discouraging. You know, I mean, there are things that you can do to help protect yourself, but it doesn't guarantee that you won't be injured. And that's the whole problem of forcing these things as a condition of employment when it can cause a long-term health consequence is just, I cannot believe that this could be that legally that they can get away with this. Or is it then that we've allowed them to get away with it? And so getting your vitamin D level up to a very high level, which means you need to get a blood test and find out where you are. It's 25 hydroxy vitamin D, which is like 25-OH vitamin D. And that level should be somewhere between 80 and 100. Now, a lot of times the ranges on the lab tests are 30 to 100. And if your level is 31, your doctor may tell you that you're in the normal range. And that's why I tell all patients and your listeners here that if you get a vitamin D level, ask for the number.
Okay.
Because the number should, in order to be protective and to prevent you from getting sick and be protective, you know, it's not 100% guarantee because nothing is.
Right.
But to really be protective against getting sick and to protect you against breast, colon, and in men, prostate cancer and having an adequate immune system and healthy hormones, your level needs to be somewhere between 80 and 100.
Okay.
The other thing that you can do, particularly for viral illnesses, is to get some vitamin A drops, like some Micyl A. You can buy that through our website at 10pennyimc.com, or you can call the office and they can ship that directly to you. It's very inexpensive. A bottle will last you for years.
Nice.
It's a one drop of vitamin A is 5,000 units. And if you were going to get a vaccine, I would say that you should take about 20,000 units of vitamin A.
Okay.
I said that incorrectly. You should take about 100,000 units of vitamin A. What I was meaning is like 20 drops.
Okay.
20 drops of vitamin A, which is 100,000 units of vitamin A for 2 days before, the day of the shot, and for 2 days afterwards. And you can do the same thing with vitamin D, 100,000 units 2 days before, the day of, and 2 days afterwards. Now, those are extremely high doses, but they're a very short period of time. So the possibility of toxicity and getting really sick and things like that is very, very low because most people have very low levels anyways. And so to give your immune system and your white blood cells a big kick on those couple of days ahead of time to try to protect you is totally safe. The other thing is that to get your vitamin C level up real high, because vitamin C is a big antioxidant.
Okay.
It may help to sop up some of the things that are in the vaccines. And so, you know, to take 3,000 or 4,000 milligrams of vitamin D a couple days before the day of and a couple of days afterwards is really about the best you have. And again, that doesn't guarantee anything. But it's not been tested in a clinical trial and there's no published research. And so I don't want anybody coming back and asking for that. It's just that knowing how vitamin D, vitamin A, and vitamin C work when you are injecting your body with known toxins and viruses and things like that is the best thing that we can do to sort of stimulate some support.
Beautiful. Okay. Now I'm going to change gear here. You went to a conference over the weekend in Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, the Campaign for Liberty conference. And one of the things that we're trying to do here at Red Pill Reports is inspire people to fight back, essentially. And a lot of that comes with a lot of questions on how exactly we are to do that. A lot of people are probably pretty tired of hearing about petitions and things like that. But you said that you got some pretty good insight from this discussion or this conference that you were at over the weekend in terms of some really good ideas in terms of activism. Would you mind sharing some of that with us, Dr. Tenpenny?
Yeah, it was so good because, you know, everybody's all fired up about this now. I mean,
yes.
The people that are, even people who are maybe pro-vaccine or want their kids to be vaccinated, there's a good number of them that fall into the category of, I believe in vaccines and I'm going to vaccinate, but I believe in your right to say no. Mm-hmm. And I believe that this is a personal right issue in terms of what is being injected into your system. Because when these exemptions were all developed and all made and these laws were put into place, it was in, most of them were in the early 1990s, which meant that the only vaccine that we had that these laws were written for was the smallpox vaccine.
Oh, okay.
And so now we have used these laws all the way up to where we've got 16 vaccines now that are routinely given, and there are 300 in the pipeline. And so the problem with saying, you know, taking away our rights to say no now, that means the adult vaccination schedule, we're not going to be able to say no. Mm-hmm. The additional vaccines that come down the pipeline, we're not going to be able to say no. And so it's a much larger issue than just measles. And so a lot of people are kind of fired up, and so I belong to, or I get these alerts from Campaign for Liberty, uh-huh. and I saw an alert that came through that they were holding a one-day seminar that was sponsored by the Foundation for Conservative Leadership, which is a part of the Campaign for Liberty, and I would encourage everyone to go to campaignforliberty.com and sign up for their email alerts. They're very libertarian. They're very pro Ron Paul and audit the Fed, and you get a lot of information about that.
Right.
And when I saw that the seminar was going to happen up in Michigan, I decided to register for it. It's about a 4-hour drive from where I live, but it was one of the best seminars in terms of activism and being effective with what we do and not just like making noise.
Right.
And one of the first things that he said, this gentleman's name was Patrick McCaskey, who was the teacher, and it was a full-day seminar. It was from 9 to about 5:30. He said, the reason we lose is because we get beat.
Right.
And so we just don't take charge of the situation. And he said, unless you're politically feared, you will not be politically respected. So his whole position was, he said, this is a way to get people active and to take charge of the situation and mm-hmm. to go into the politicians and not go in and say, will you please vote for this bill or not vote for this bill? It's more like, no, I am here to say that I'm one of your constituents. You represent District 13. I'm from District 13, and I'm here to tell you that I want you to vote yes on this bill, and here's the three reasons why, and if you don't, there's going to be consequences. I will let everybody know that you are voting to take away people's rights, and everybody in your district are friends of mine, and I'm going to make it very loud and clear that we're going to induce pain for you, and the pain is a bunch of angry voters and bad publicity about the way you are voting to take away our rights.
I love it.
So the idea is to go in and to take charge of the meeting. In fact, he showed this little video about training Pavlov's dogs, you know, and the whole story about Pavlov trained the dogs to salivate, you know, you ring a bell and then feed them until eventually all he had to do was ring the bell and then they would salivate. Mm-hmm. He said, well, we need to train our legislators to do what we want them to do. And keep in mind that the other side is doing the exact same thing. So we have to be as equally as adamant and as equally as powerful as the moneyed people, because he said we will never outbuy them.
That's true.
You know, we will never ever have enough money to be able to get past what their message is. Mm-hmm. And so we have to keep doing it by going specifically to people in your district. And I believe that a lot of the activism things that we've done have not been that targeted. I mean, like, you know, if I'm here in Ohio and I would think about wanting to get people to vote on a particular bill, I'd be wanting to talk to all the representatives and let them know what my opinion is. But you know what? From the representative's position, they don't give two rabbit ears about this. You know, if they're in Cincinnati and I'm in Cleveland, the people who are from Cincinnati, I'm not going to vote for them.
Right.
I can't punish them. I can't raise money for them. I can't do anything to them. So my noise is simply that. It's noise.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go specifically to the people from my district and be very adamant about that. And what these people said was that if you could get 25 people, guaranteed 25 people in a room, they would send a trainer to come and train people on how to do this. The course was only $40. It was not expensive. And I believe that the full day training that I got was some of the best I've ever had. Because, first of all, I've never had any training in this.
Right.
And so, but this was absolutely, if you want to be involved and you want to stop these bills from passing, which, by the way, he said it's easier to stop a bill than it is to get a bill passed.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because when you're trying to stop a bill, in the people that you are talking to, you're trying to induce doubt. When you're trying to pass a bill, I mean, for a politician to vote yes, that puts them in the hot seat. Now
right.
they've got a recorded thing of how they voted. If they vote no, well, that's kind of passive. And so that was really important. And the other big takeaway was he said that most activist groups are underfunded. They don't have a strategy. And they love meetings that just go on and on forever.
Right.
And he said, we always have like a hard start and a hard stop. And he talked about doing this thing called a five-column analysis. And he said every legislative body uses it, that you list the representatives' names. And then you, like if you have in a spreadsheet and it's like a plus two, plus one, zero, minus one, minus two across the top.
Okay.
And the people that are plus two, you know that they're gung-ho, they're going to vote the way you want them to. And the people that are minus two, it doesn't matter what you tell them, they're never going to vote the way you want them to. So you leave those alone. You've got
okay.
limited resources and time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bother with those. It's the plus ones, the ones that maybe kind of vote the way you think you want them to, or the zeros, the people that don't know anything about the issue at all and they're not sure which way to go, where you need to focus your attention.
Makes sense, yeah.
Because those are the ones you're trying to move in your direction. And so I think that those are some sort of simple things that people can kind of think about. They said, you know, the reaction, like when you go in and you talk to people, the legislators, he said the first thing they want to do is just ignore you. And then the second thing, they're like, be reasonable. Wait
right.
a minute. This is difficult. You know, they're trying to be nice to you. And by being nice to you, they're trying to get you to bend on your issue.
Right.
And then they whine. Why are you doing this to me? You're making me look bad. You know how hard this is to kind of vote the way you want me to do? It's like, and then you double down and you double down and you double down on your ways that you do things. And then they maybe threaten you, and there may be some different things. And at the end of the day, they still may not vote the way you want them to. But targeting your specific representative in your specific district is really, I think, something we haven't done enough of.
I agree. I'm not sure who it was that we had on the show. I think it was Greg Morse, and we were talking about the whole mortgage crisis issue. And he recommends doing the same thing, just going into your representative's office, getting all of their little ancillary employees' business cards so that they know that you know who they are, and you know, get them all on a first-name basis and make your presence known. I think that's what a lot of people really are hesitant to do these days when you're approached by all these ginormous issues. But, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about here on the show all the time, is that sometimes it's best to just put a knife in your teeth and run right at these people, because they will really scatter unless they really have a leg to stand on. And especially given the pharmaceutical industry, I mean, we're talking about the largest lobby group in Washington. I think I read an article that says for every dollar that they spend in Washington, they get $200 back. That's a pretty good job if you can get it. So it shows you just how much big time old established money you're up against when you're trying to get these bills to stop. I think Mr. McCaskey was right when he said that you almost can't outspend these people, Sherry.
No, you can't. I mean, they've got Bill Gates, they've got Gavi, they've got this whole organization, this article that just went up yesterday, on GreenMed Info, which is an incredible article. I posted on my Facebook page, and my Facebook page is Dr. Tenpenny on Vaccines. Please like me and come over there. There's 126,000 of us.
Nice.
And it's a very active site, and we talk about these things all the time. I'm pretty interactive with my fans. And there's this organization called NACHO, N-A-C-C-H-O, the National Association of County and City Health Officials, that were funded by the CDC with more than $25 million to push a pro-vaccine agenda that they're even talking about. Right in their documents, it says that this organization urges the federal government support for the creation of a comprehensive national immunization program that addresses all stages of life from cradle to grave.
Oh, my God.
With the intention of achieving the Healthy People 2020 immunization goals and standards, which is the other article that I wrote that I really hope everybody will read. It's posted on Facebook, and like it and send it everywhere. Share
yes.
it and send it everywhere, because people need to know these things. This is what we're up against, and why they put money into everywhere. So we can't out-money them, but there are 330 million of us. And let's say there's 100 million adults and people who really care. We can take our country back, but people have to get up off their couch to do it.
That's right. That's right. And I tell you, going into your representative's office is a big way to do it. That's not, that's a much bigger step than signing a petition or sending a letter or something like that. Go in, collect the business cards, let them know that you're going to be calling them back in a week and you want to know what they intend to do about whatever the program, you know, the problem is that you're addressing with them. Let them know that you're going to be checking up on them and that you're going to hold them accountable. I think that's about the best advice that I've heard in a long time also, Dr. Tenpenny.
Yeah, and I think that that really makes a big difference, and it empowers people. Mm-hmm. It makes people feel like, okay, I can do this. I wrote a blog a couple of weeks ago, and I posted on Facebook. It said, now is the time to be brave. I mean, if you've never been brave before, if you've always sat back and watched you and me and the people who are out here being very vocal and putting our everything we've got on the line uh-huh. to do this for people, now is the time for you who are listening to this to write letters and to get involved and go to nvicadvocacy.org, nvicadvocacy.org. It's a link at the bottom of my Healthy People 2020 article. Go there. Find out what the bills are. Find out who your state representatives are. They've already made it easy for you to say, this is a good bill. Tell them to vote yes. This is a bad bill. Tell them to vote no. Mm-hmm. And how they will take away your rights. And, you know, sometimes bills are written kind of backwards, that if you vote yes for the bill, it really means that you don't want it.
Right.
And so they've actually made it really easy for you that way. And get involved. Get a small group of people. And, I mean, you know, the other thing that I learned at that conference was you don't need 50% of the people plus one. The margin of voting is like 6%. And so you just need a handful of you who are very active in your particular district to go down and make sure that your people vote the way you want them to. Mm-hmm. And maybe you will make enough of an impact on them that maybe they'll share some of the information with the guy sitting next to them who's from District 20.
Right.
You know? And so it's important to not get out politic, to walk in there and say, this is why I'm here. I'm here about this piece of legislation. I want you to vote no, and here's the three reasons why, and I'm going to be watching how you vote on this, and believe me, I have a big constituency of people that are going to be very upset in your district, and when you come home this summer and you go to the ball game, go to the grocery store, we're going to be watching for you.
Oh, I love it. Well, that's right. So, I mean, that's the answer. That really is the answer. We got to, if the Justice Department and the people that really are accountable for these to these people aren't going to do their jobs, then you gotta take that next step past going to the voting booth every 4 years or every 2 years or however often you do it, because that's not community service. That's not where your civic responsibility ends. That's actually just kind of the tip of the iceberg. So if you care about these issues, getting in front of the people who are actually making these decisions and especially threatening their jobs, their job safety, because man, these guys in Washington, especially these career politicians that have been there for 25 and 30 years, I gotta tell you, Jack Blood was on the show the other day, and he recommended a show on Netflix. And I don't watch TV. I haven't had a TV in a decade. But I did break down and watch that new Netflix show called House of Cards. Have you seen that yet, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny?
I have not.
It is astounding. It is essentially an inside view of what is going on inside of Washington, how the bills come together, all the political backstabbing, and a lot of senators and congressmen have come out and said that the show is 1,000% accurate, is absolutely completely spot on, and it is astounding. I mean, it is one of those things, you see the process and the way that the manipulation goes and the way that the money flows around, it will absolutely floor you. I don't think people understand how big a battle we are up against with this entrenched, you know, Washington, the lobby groups and all of it, Sherry. I don't think that they understand quite how bad it is.
I think that there's some truth to that, but I also feel that the people who are waking up and do understand, I feel their pain in terms of the feeling of overwhelm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, where do you start? I mean, you're looking at the vaccine issue, you got GMOs, you got fluoride in the water, you got chemtrails, you've got, you know, they're taking it, you know, like net neutrality and taking away our guns. And I mean, it's like, what? What do I do?
Right.
You know, it's so overwhelming, so I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and pretend it doesn't exist and throw a cover over my head and watch TV and eat Cheetos, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you can't do it all. You can't. Pick one issue that really resonates with you and sings to your heart. And you look at this issue of, how is this going to impact my kids and my grandkids if I don't get involved something about this?
Mm-hmm.
How's it going to impact my nieces and nephews if I don't take charge of this? And what, one of the things that they also said at this meeting was, if you only have 6 hours a month to give to political action, then give it all you got. Be as effective as you can,
right,
and do it to win.
Well, and
you don't have to be a full-time activist,
mm-hmm,
but because all of these groups need people who want to do it. And if you've got 6 hours a week, a month, maybe that's 2 hours a week, that you're really going to get involved with whatever issue sings to you, because they're all important.
They are. And again, you know, I come back to this idea that, you know, if you're, say you're the most amazing political activist ever, you've got 50 hours a week and you can donate all your time and you're going to do all of these things, you can't save the country. I'm sorry to have to say that out loud, but that is not where your attention needs to be. Your attention, again, always needs to be first on saving your heart, second on saving your family, and third on saving your community. Because if everybody were to take responsibility for their own communities and get all of the, you know, on a community level, get everything figured out, well, before you know it, we would be a nation of interconnected communities where people actually wanted to live. And so I love this idea of going as grassroots as you possibly can and going into your state representatives or your county representatives and say, this is the change that I expect to see in the county. We're going to get a group of vocal majority of people behind us, and we're going to make your life heck from here on out unless you start towing the line that we expect you to tow. And that's how you change your, that's how you change your community. And again, that to me seems to be the target, not fixing the world or getting us back to some kind of republic. You know, those are great grand goals, but if we had integrally connected, you know, properly defined communities that were all working cohesively with one another, we would be there. We would be back to the republic before you knew it.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
And every, you know, that expression, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we all need to be cognizant of and do more of is stop, turn around, look behind you, and see how far you've come.
Yes.
Because when we're constantly looking at what is the mountain ahead of us, we get discouraged and say, we're not doing anything. But if you stop and turn around and say, wow, over the course of the last year, I've made 17 phone calls, I've done this, I've done that, I've hosted a thing at the library, I've done something at my local PTA, you know, take stock of all and appreciate yourself at the work that you've done, that you've put into this, whatever it is that,
yes,
that you're wanting to be participatory. Maybe it's animal rights. I mean, it's whatever it is that really moves you. But take stock of what you've done and give yourself an attaboy or an attagirl and appreciate the fact that you are involved and you're doing as much as you can. Even if it's a little bit, give yourself, you know, you did something. And then maybe make a commitment of saying, okay, this next month I'm gonna do an extra hour. You know, mm-hmm, I was only doing 5 hours. I think I can carve out 6 hours. And so then over time, if we have, you know, tens of thousands or hopefully millions of people doing that, that's what it's gonna take. People who care enough to contribute. Not just money, but really their time.
Absolutely. And to make a habit out of it. Make it,
yes,
something that's a normal part of your life and not something that we're talking about on the radio, you know, as something that I'm going to make this transition and start doing this thing. Well, in a few months, that thing will be your thing and it won't be a new thing that you have to make a transition to. And all you'll have to do is convince all your friends of how wonderful it is to be part of this thing. And there you go. We start fixing the problem. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. We are just out of time right now.
Thank you so much. I look forward to talking again to you next time.
Me too. Keep us abreast of everything that's going on. Please, ladies and gentlemen, do go and check out all of her websites, drtenpenny.com, fantastic resources and articles that she posts there. Tenpenny IMC, if you're interested in the medical center there. VaccineResearchLibrary.com is one that you should be sharing with all of your friends that are parents and things like that. And also keep an eye out for her updates on edgytruth.com. So we will see you guys tomorrow. Rebecca Roth will be our guest. We're going to be talking about
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Sherry Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-337. truth,
uncensored talk, and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.